Michael Moynihan, James Elliott. Now, the Health Minister, Jonathan Coleman, has ruled out an organ donation register for improving New Zealand's low donor rates. But there is a clear way forward, he says. In New Zealand, the demand for organ transplants is way ahead of supply. 700 people on the waiting list for kidney transplants, dozens more waiting for lung, liver and heart. Our donation rate is low. We are 30th out of 47 countries measured. And the UK's organ donation rate is nearly double ours. Spain's is nearly four times higher. Jonathan Coleman says essentially it's around changing the culture, having a coherent and cohesive national strategy, encouraging people to have conversations with family. Because even if you declare yourself to be a donor on your driver's license, your relatives, as we know, can override your wishes. 55% of eligible donors' families choose not to allow their loved ones' organs to be donated. But the UK and Australia have donor registers, which allow people to opt in to becoming donors in addition to the declaration on driver's licenses. Do we need this? I mean, are you confident an improvement in conversations is going to cut it?
Well, I had a look at the donor.co.nz website. I'm surprised. So the stats for us are 54% by way of the driver's license analysis, and the highest group of that is 16 to 19 year olds of 60%, yep. Which I thought was actually very low because I think part of it's the point of interaction. You're asked when you take a drive. I like the idea of the voluntary register outside the driver's licensing process, because then it's just one fixed point in time for that conversation.
Yeah.
There should be more opportunities to have the conversation and to indicate the registrar, because otherwise it's very infrequent. But I was surprised. I would have thought that a younger age group, when asked the question, irrespective of whether they'd had a prior conversation, I instinctively would have thought there would be a higher take up amongst a younger generation, given that their awareness of what the science and the medicine can do. I would have thought there would be more reticence in an older group, perhaps, and more understanding and tolerance and acceptance in a younger group. But 60% doesn't strike me as being particularly good, and might indicate why we're so low down those international league tables.
There's obviously an instinctive, to use your word, resistance to having your body tampered with after you pass away, Michael. There's something quite basic about it.
My problem really is as I age, I just assume nobody's going to really want anything I've got left at the moment of my death. Look, if there is a solution in around a voluntary register, for goodness sake, let's have it. We've got this technology. We know it can change people's lives. Let's not shy away from the idea that actually there's a mechanism for making those more available. I think that if the evidence is that in the UK just having a register, or in Australia having a register, has made a difference, then I'm all for it.
Let's talk to Andy Tukey. And Andy founded Give Life, a lobby group for organ donation reform in New Zealand. Andy, good afternoon.
Hi, Jim. First of all, I've got to apologise for the croaky voice. I'm losing my voice today.
Oh, no, we understand it's going around in our house too, so that's apologies accepted. You got involved, I think, Andy, because of your daughter, Katie.
Yeah, she was born with liver disease. They said she'd need a transplant or she would die. And I discovered what her chances were of getting one were very low. So I researched the system, and this was 14 years ago, and I just continually keep opening cans of worms as to the problems we've got with our current system.
Jonathan Coleman says there's no proof a register, for example, improves donation rates. Do you agree with that, Andy?
Absolutely not. There's no evidence that giving more money to the organ donor service will improve donor rates. There's no evidence that revamping the driving license will improve rates, and so on. But all of these together will improve the donor rate. It's just one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And he's wrong, because in Australia we do know that from his own ministry's documents just released in the last few weeks, they've been investigating this, and their documents show that in Australia 93% of families say yes if somebody was on the organ donor register. If they're not on a register, that drops to 40%, which is, of course, similar to our current rate in New Zealand.
So there's something formal and more compelling about a name on a register rather than just on a driver's license. There's just
the problem
a
is there's several problems if they keep it on the driving license. The first problem being is how will non-drivers be able to register?
Yeah.
And the second thing is by the doctors do not check the driving licenses at the moment because it's not informed consent. It's just a box you ticked, you know, years ago. So they say it's worthless, whereas a register can be current reflection of your wishes, and at least your family would know what your wishes were. At the moment, they don't know what they were because, as I say, it's a box you ticked 14 years ago.
So your view, I'm inferring, would be that we're going to struggle along trying to match donors with recipients with the same problem we're experiencing at the moment.
Yeah, to not have a register, we'll keep it as a status quo. We still won't know what people's wishes are, so the decision will still be with the family who won't know, and their gut instinct at the time, I think, is to, like, a reflex reaction is to say no.
Can I ask you a couple more things? We reported recently, actually, that Canadians have found that donated organs are declining in quality, and I think they're maybe finding this in other... Yes, as Michael alluded to. I think they may be finding this in other countries too, aren't they, Andy? You'd like to think the kidney you're getting is tip-top, not diseased.
Well, and that's certainly the case in New Zealand as well. The transplant doctors, in response to my Official Information Act requests, have admitted they're using more older and more marginal quality organs because there is such a shortage.
An emailer named Annie says, surely the sensible thing would be for people to go on a register if they don't want to donate their organs rather than if they do. The majority of us, I hope, are not so superstitious as to believe that we need our bodies to be intact once we're dead. They're of no use to us. They might as well help someone who's still alive. Would you go as far as Annie?
Yeah, well, when you die, there's only three things you can do with your organs. You can bury them, cremate them, or donate them and save lives. I would hope that people would choose the latter. And people say have this thing they don't want to be, you know, cut up or interfered with, you know, after death. But unless you die a natural, completely natural death, the chances are they're going to do an autopsy on you anyway. Yes, an opt-out register, which is what she's referring to, that would increase the organ donor rate considerably. I know when Belgium changed to a opt-out system, their organ donor rates increased by 183%, and only 2% of the population have opted out. Just 8 months ago, the Wales changed to an opt-out system, and they're seeing huge improvements in their organ donor numbers already, just 8 months on. And, of course, if you have a register of people who don't want to be donors, well, of course, that's going to be much easily administered because you're then only following, say, 2 or 3% of the population who don't want to be donors.
I'll ask the panellists about that after you're gone. You'd feel churlish opting out under those circumstances. But just one more quick thing. I noticed in America, the Wall Street Journal, a couple of other publications, have suggested we adopt Iran's approach. They reward donors. And there are calls that go out periodically, you know, to pay a down payment on a house or contribute to a retirement fund or whatever, and actually encourage monetarily people who donate. Would you agree with that as well, Andy?
Yeah, to a certain extent, you know, we don't want to go down the same way as perhaps India and black markets and stuff, although that couldn't happen in New Zealand. I have submitted to Parliament on several occasions that maybe to encourage people to sign up to be donors, we should, say, pay their funeral expenses should they become a donor. Because at the moment, you know, donors save up to 10 people's lives and they get absolutely nothing, no recognition. The funeral is not paid for. And yet I know the Ministry of Social Development pays out $3 million a year in funeral expenses to people who can't afford funerals. They should extend that to organ donors because more people would sign up to be donors, you know, if they thought it took the financial pressure off their family of the cost of a funeral at an already traumatic time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And thank you for your comments too, and good luck nursing your voice back to health. Andy Tukey talking to us on the panel. So opt out, not opt in? I mean, that'd be interesting.
Would be. I'd say in the forlorn hope that any members of my family are listening, you can do what you like. I'd also like part of my body recycled. There's a fair amount of metal in various parts that should actually be recycled. But also I'm wondering, can you prescribe who, perhaps not who, but who your body parts don't go to? I'm happy for it to happen, but I've got a certain list of people that I wouldn't be...
You mean actual people?
Certain people.
Right.
Just some individuals.
So not just Protestants or something of that sort?
No, quite that far. But no, just a certain list of named individuals. Right. I wouldn't say, look, I wouldn't be keen for them to be getting